Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country, throughout the world, to come join us, come and learn with us. There are so many important things that, unfortunately, a lot of people, all they get is a soundbite. And City on a Hill, we offer to give you more than a soundbite. And today we're going to be talking about the very important matter of really the future of your children. So we hope that you will share the show and tell your friends. Go to www.cityonthehill.tv. And we are so grateful to be joined by all many wonderful people. And one of them is Alice. And I think I see Alice Linehan. Alice, is that you?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
God bless
you. I'm running behind.
Oh, no. I'm just grateful because, you know, our heads are really scratching our heads because we know how vigilant you have been and, you know, really Texan parents have been regarding the education of our children. You really stand out. You're at the very forefront, fighting not just for your state, but really the rest of the country. And we hear the shocking news about what the enemy has tried to put in, but thank God it's exposed, so we're glad you're on to give us your thoughts on that, Alice. But I'm going to go ahead and give this over to our co-host, though. Ms. Barbara Moore has got some words for us, and she always gets on the right foundation. But Ms. Barbara, I know you've got some words of wisdom, but Pastor Wayne is here, so if you don't mind, when you get through, we'll turn it over to him to start us off with prayer.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Diana. And yes, today, it was on this day in 1911 that one of America's best presidents and most popular presidents was born. He was the 40th man to serve as president, and that was, of course, our dearly beloved Ronald Reagan. I was thinking about Ronald Reagan, and I was thinking how the Lord had set him aside for the place that he had for him before we could have ever, ever imagined, and how faithful God is. That, you know, he was an older man, but he was not too old. He had the wisdom of years, and how grateful we are for our dearly beloved President Ronald Reagan, born on this day in 1911. And with that, Wayne, I will turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Well, God bless you. I was, before we go into prayer, I was just watching an interview with a Texas state senator on Fox News about the hearings they're having with curriculum problems in the state of Texas. And so really got my interest piqued into what we're going to talk about today. So it's just a God thing, kind of pulling everything together. And then amazing how God works. Amen. Well, with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and go into prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just lift this show up to you. Lord, I pray that you bless everyone who's on this show today, Father God, our guests. And Lord, I need your blessing and bless my fellow hosts. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just give this show to you today, Lord. Let us die to ourselves that you might live through us, Father God. Sanctify us by the blood of your precious Son who was slain on Calvary, that we might be worthy vessels of your Spirit and of your Word. And God, I pray, Lord, that the people who listen today will be blessed, will be exhorted, even rebuked if necessary, Father God, but moved in the proper direction and guided in the way they should go. I pray that, Lord, we plant seeds in the hearts of the listeners today that everything they hear might take fruit and produce, may take seed and produce good fruit. That, Father God, they may go into this dark and dying world equipped and armed for the battle that lays before us. For God, we are in a spiritual war, Almighty God. We are in a spiritual war for the hearts and minds of our future generations. And let us stand now, girded with the armor of Christ, Lord. Let us wear the helmet of salvation. Let us, our chest be clad with the breastplate of righteousness. Let our loins be girded with the truth. Let our feet be shod with the preparation of gospel peace. And let us wield the sword of the word of God and the shield of faith in this battle. And Father God, we pray that, Lord, this show be used today to your glory. That everything we do here today is done in your spirit of love and truth. And Father God, let nothing be done in man today, but let it all be through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray and we do praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Wayne and Ms. Barbara. We're always so privileged. Ms. Barbara, can I give you a second to just say, you know, the quote that really I think all of us, I'm sure, are just feeling like we're there. And we've spoken about it before, you know, you got on the phone.
One of our guests will surely know the exact quote that I'm referring to and the author of it. I thought it was Edward Everett Hale, but I don't think that's the case. But anyway, it is the quote that everyone will recognize, that the time is now. If not now, when? Not us, who? If not now, when? And if not here, where? And Diana, one more thing I want to mention. During President Reagan's administration, he had a study done. And it culminated in a book called The Nation at Risk. It was about our educational system. And in that booklet almost, it's a very small book, it stated that if a foreign nation had done to us something to this effect, a foreign nation had done to us what we ourselves have done our education system and dumbing it down, you know, we would have declared war on that foreign nation, you know. So here we are some many years later, and we're even in a worse place. So anyway, I just wanted to add that. And it might be worth reading A Nation at Risk.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And I think those two quotes, you know, are like the theme for our conference that we're having February 9th, Open Door Baptist Church in Enterprise, Alabama. And we're just so grateful for the opportunity to really, I like the title of Alice's group, Voices in Power. We're going to empower the people by, you know, letting them hear truth. I think when parents hear what is going on, they are moved into action. The problem is they're so busy doing a lot of good things that, if, you know, things are happening right under their nose. But I'm going to go ahead and do a brief introduction, if I can, of these wonderful people that's on with us. Y'all just heard Barbara Moore, our co-host, and Pastor Wayne Wood. We like to give everything to God because we know, you know, this is the home that he made for us. the body of Christ, and we are being told to get out, in essence, you know, to be kind of evicted from our own home. But anyway, that's what it feels like to me. But we've got Lou Campanosi with Campaign and Common Sense. Lou, we're so grateful that you're here with us and you're going to be speaking. We've got Alois Zena with the Alabama Federation of Republican Women, our president, and really just such you're moving so many things for us, not just for Alabama, Alois. I was just thinking about last month because you have taken the helm on Common Core now by getting this resolution, and, you know, for our state legislators, and they're going to be, you know, looking up to this, and they're going to know that they are now being watched carefully. And so a lot of these women are going to be watching them, and men. But so we're grateful for what you've spearheaded. And now we've got Alois Lenihan. And Alois, if you don't mind, tell a little bit about you and Voices in Power, your website, and what y'all are trying to do.
Great. Thank you so much. I am basically a Texas mom who, over the last several years, has been involved with the grassroots Tea Party movement in the state of Texas and beyond. And Voices in Power came about really as a need to get information out to what I call the passive majority of people. And so I go around the state, actually in state and across the country. I've been out of state as well, training grassroots activists on how to push out information to their sphere of influence. I keep telling people we are not going to elect someone to save us. We have to save ourselves. And the only way to save ourselves is to get educated on the issues and to know the truth. And this C-Scope issue and what's going on in Texas, I hope that as we uncover the truth, it will be helpful in other states that don't have the Common Core curriculum, and then those that do, that together we can all educate each other on this infiltration into our communities, because that's what it is they're going down to the community level and getting into our schools and churches. And that's how they're trying to change America, and we have to stand. So that's what Voices in Power is about, and that's what I'm about.
Well, thank you, Alison. It's such a privilege to, you know, have met you while I was in Texas, and Miss Donna Corner, she was so kind to have allowed me to see that, you know, your Tea Party group, and my goodness, what a group y'all were, just incredible. And but Alison, if you don't mind, start us off on how y'all found out about this, if you can go that far, and just tell us, you know, the details, and then we'll give everybody a chance to ask you questions. But if you don't mind, just give us, you know, your understanding of it, if you can, as early on as when it was found out.
Great. Well, C-Scope is a online technology curriculum, basically, and it came in into Texas around 2006, and it really was originally set up to be kind of a time management tool for teachers to keep them on task for testing. But what's interesting is what it has turned into, and there are many of us that believe this was the focus of it from the beginning, is to go around kind of that Common Core curriculum that's coming down from the federal level and go around and bypass the state legislators to get that type of progressive curriculum in. And how this, what I think is a really amazing story that you're probably not going to hear from the mainstream media, is that this whole unveiling of the truth has been done by private citizens who dug out the truth, people like Donna Garner, Ginger Russell, Janice McCleave, people who have cared enough to do the research to find out what's behind the curtain, if you will. What's interesting about C-Scope is that the original developers of it, a woman named Linda Harper, getting that her name wrong. Sorry, I just lost
her. We're talking about Linda Darling.
Yes, Linda Darling. And Hammond. I was saying Harper. I knew it wasn't Harper. Anyway, she had close ties to Bill Ayers. And there's an interesting video of him, and he's talking about how they are not going, it's not just about Obama and how he's going to change, that the real change comes at the local level through our schools, that there is this movement afoot, and that this has been very deliberate. And if you start looking at the actual curriculum of what's in C-Scope, it's quite amazing, actually. I mean, it's very progressive, but it's subtle. And so what happened is they set up these service centers across the state of Texas. There's 20 service centers. They set themselves up as a nonprofit 501c3. And by doing that, then the service centers market to the superintendents and the school districts, and they sell this online technology curriculum. And so it's paid for by our tax dollars, because that's how the superintendents pay for it. Attorney General Greg Abbott ruled that these service centers are indeed a public entity because they're all funded through our tax dollars. But because they're a nonprofit 501c3, the curriculum, and because it's an online curriculum, not textbooks, it doesn't come under the oversight of the State Board of Education, who are elected officials who have authority over things like textbooks and what's actually in the curriculum. And so how it was set up originally was to put a veil of secrecy over what they were actually doing. And then when you look at the actual curriculum, it's quite scary. Aside the fact that, you know, they said the Boston Tea Party was a terrorist act, there's a lot of, it's very pro-Islam. There's actually lessons, whole PowerPoint lessons on the seven pillars of Islam, and they give kids the lesson to do a mock trip to Mecca. Very pro-Islam, but anti-Christian. And so once parents, or once these teachers started seeing the curriculum and then started speaking out, and then you had people like Donna Garner, who does wonderful work to uncover what's in it, then as grassroots activists, we were able to kind of build on that and then get information out. So it's happening right now. It's unfolding right now, and like you said, Senator Dan Patrick had a hearing last Thursday, and a lot of this information came out. He was on Fox News just about 30 minutes ago, and we are calling for legislation to put this curriculum under the oversight of the State Board of Education. So I am of the opinion that it actually needs to be completely scrapped, the C-Scope technology curriculum, because I don't think it can be rewritten. I think it needs to just be a whole new system. But if that's not what we have the ability to do, I at least want it to come under the State Board of Education like textbooks and have people going through the thousands of lessons that are in there to decipher if it's actually pro-American, talks about America's exceptionalism and our Judeo-Christian history instead of being pro-Islam. So what's interesting, one last comment and I'll take some questions. What is interesting is that the same day that the hearing in Austin happened last Thursday, it was Muslim Day at the Capitol that same day. And of the 12 sponsoring groups for Muslim Day at the Capitol, 8 of them have direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. So,
wow.
When you start connecting the dots, it's quite scary. It's quite scary.
Well, Alice, and the dot, too, that's being connected is that Obama is interested in this to be used as part of Common Core. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it came out several weeks ago that actually Arne Duncan in the Obama administration are interested in investing in C-Scope, basically to be able to use this kind of a curriculum to go around in those states where they can't get the Common Core curriculum implemented. They'll go around the legislature by using C-Scope. And that's why it's imperative that we expose what's in the curriculum so other states have the opportunity to know what they're getting into.
Wow. We just approved here in Alabama a $100 million bond issue last year when we supposedly had no money for digitized, the tablets for grades 9 through 12. And so we're hoping that this is going to stir up a hearing, because look at what happens, you know. Everybody's being forced to think that digitized learning is the way to go, but as we're seeing right here, it's a very dangerous tool, because did I not hear that they take things off the Internet just as quickly as they're put on if somebody, raises a stir about it?
Right, exactly. And that's why if you don't have any kind of oversight from, like, a SBOE, the State Board of Education, as it stands right now, they can put things on and off in the curriculum as they deem necessary. And what's interesting, they said in the hearing that they had contracted with an organization called the RSL Resources for Learning to do an audit of the different subjects, science, math, social studies. They started with the science. But what's interesting is the people who run the RSL are people in the same mindset of Linda Darling Hammond. So I gave the analogy on the radio the other day. It's kind of like Eric Holder and the Justice Department being in charge of investigating Fast and Furious. So we have to really understand who's behind the acronyms of these organizations. They throw out all these acronyms, and we've got to find out who's behind it. So,
thank you, Alice. Let me go ahead too and turn it over. I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and make this pass for. And I was going to let Ms. Lois, but go ahead and give her your question if you'd like.
One thing that concerned me when I was watching this thing on Fox News There were actually two things. One you mentioned was they would complain when somebody complained about the Sons of Liberty being equated with terrorists. Well, oh, we've removed that. Well, that's a good thing and a bad thing about internet. You can edit it and update it a lot more rapidly in textbooks. The second thing that concerned me was when the teachers were testifying that they were forced to sign contracts that if they revealed anything that was in the curriculum, like to parents or the public, they could be penalized under law. There could be legal action. I mean, we're talking about almost criminal action. At least that's the impression I got. And there was one math teacher who resigned his position, retired, left the classroom because he refused to be a party to that. That is, as a retired teacher myself, that really outraged me.
And I'll tell you, tonight I found out that in my children's own, in our district, C-Scope has just been implemented this year. And so when I found out that it had been implemented, that it was one of the schools, I went to our principal to ask him, you know, why are you using this? How are you using C-Scope? And raised some of my concerns. And then I went to the superintendent and I raised concerns and I said, listen, I am doing research on this, and because of the connections and the network that I work with, I know this story is about to blow up big time. And it would be better for us if we could have a community meeting to talk about C-Scope before it blows up, instead of parents finding out what's in this curriculum, and then you have all these parents, me included, showing up at your school board meetings demanding answers. Well, it just so happened they agreed to that, and we are having it tonight, lo and behold, at our local high school, and four of the key people that testified last week in Austin will be at Argyle High School tonight to answer questions. And Dr. Stan Hartzler, who you're referring to, the retired math teacher, will be at our high school tonight to talk about it. He's a great man, and we're videotaping tonight, so I will have all of that videotape that I can send to you, and you'll have the audio too. And I think you'll find his story, Dr. Hartzler's story, amazing. And we're also going to have Charlie Garza, who's a former State Board of Education elected official, who was fighting C-Scope from the beginning when they were first developing it. And then we're going to have Janice Van Cleve, who's a science teacher. She also testified in the hearing. And then her daughter, Ginger Russell. And Ginger Russell and Janice Van Cleve have been huge at the grassroots level, getting this information out and doing the research. And Janice Van Cleve runs the website C-Scope Review.com, and her website is really kind of the website to go to find out information on C-Scope. She's done an incredible job, and there's just a wealth of information there.
Thank you, Alice, and I want to go ahead and say this, Alice. You know, y'all are so ahead of us, because y'all did not sign on to Common Core, but we did. So, you know, with this news, you know, we just now hear the plans for us. And I know, Ms. Lois, you are fighting. So have you got some questions or comments to Alice?
I do, and I appreciate what you just said in terms of Texas refusing to sign on to Common Core, yet they have this C-Scope. I it's frightening to hear what Alice said. It's unbelievable that a state that will see the dangers of Common Core and rejects them and then allow C-Scope to get this far is puzzling. I want to thank Alice for her efforts and her leadership and wish her luck, including at the meeting tonight. You know, Alice made some comments at the beginning in her introduction about how volunteers, how parents must save their own children and must get active. It's such a shame that voters work hard to look at our candidates when they run for school board or the legislature. We elect conservatives to protect our rights so that we don't have to be so vigilant and get involved, but the next thing we know, these very good people change. They put their position above principle, and they're so interested in getting reelected that they don't do their jobs and they stray. So we do have to be continually vigilant, raise our voices, and rise in protest and try to do what we can to educate, to inform our voters, and in this case, our parents and the taxpayers who are going to be paying for this education revolution, whether it's called C-Scope or Common Core. Yet we had no voice or vote in the matter. If we get our word out, I'm sure we will win. If there's a question, it would be about the connection between C-Scope and Common Core. You mentioned that Linda Darling Hammond was one of the original developers of C-Scope. Linda Darling Hammond, as you mentioned, a close friend to Bill Ayers and also to President Obama, is also involved in Common Core. And I would love to know if there's a way that we can connect the curriculum that C-Scope is putting online with what we can expect in Common Core.
I think you very much can. And I think that that would be an interest. It would be interesting to put together a working group of people from different states that we can work together to do that, to look at the two different curriculum and see where they marry up. And I have a feeling that it's definitely, Donna Garner does a brilliant job of explaining the two different philosophies in education in Texas, but I think it goes beyond Texas. And she describes it as type one and type two. Type one is kind of your old school education philosophy, reading, writing, history. It is about American exceptionalism and patriotism, but it's our history. It's not rewriting history. And there are right and wrong answers and to questions. And that's more, we have the STAR testing, the STAR tests in Texas, which are your type one testing over type one type education. Then you have type two, which is the progressive Linda Darling Hammond, Bill Ayers type philosophy that is very subjective. And you come together collectively to decide what the answers are. And so you have if we don't stop this Common Core curriculum and the C-Scope curriculum, it is all based on that type two subjective philosophy, and we will have a whole generation of children who don't think that there are right and wrong answers. that we just come together and decide what the answer is going to be. And it's very, it's a very dangerous path that we're taking. And unless parents wake up and start looking at what's happening and seeing what's actually in this curriculum, we're in real trouble. And I think that that is what the hope is as well, because I think, you know, my generation, I'm in my mid-40s, I've got children, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 8-year-old. The reason I get up every morning and fight this good fight is for them, so that they have a future. And I think that that's where things like uncovering what's in Common Core Curriculum and C-Scope, we can get people who are not politically active, who are not activists, but who love their children, and once they know the truth, then they will stand. And so it's our job, through radio shows like this, through reaching out beyond our kind of echo chamber and reaching out into our local communities and questioning, that's how we're going to save our country. And I believe that's what we're called to do.
Well, Alice, thank you for what you're doing. And, you know, it just reminds me of what I saw in the news in California. You know, even California, I think, is getting it. I know we talked to Dawn Wildman with California Tea Party, and she said she was talking to a senator, a state senator, and they were talking about fiscal issues. And then all of a sudden, he's the one that brought up the education issue. So I think this is a great unifying force, which it needs to be, because bottom line, it's really about the family. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. But I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Lou. I know you probably have a comment or a question, Lou.
Well, I appreciate the fact that Alice has done so much over there. I mean, clearly Texas has been leading the fight in making sure that our textbooks, particularly history textbooks, you know, maintain the patriotism and the outlook of American exceptionalism. But I have to tell you, I mean, the reality is that we as conservatives, and I think your analysis of type 1 and type 2 approaches is right on. But the type 1 approach, we have been losing that since the late 70s, early 70s, late 60s. And I mean, I teach kids today in college who are part of this age of relativism. So I mean, that's a major aspect of trying to, you know, correct what's going on and inject, you know, an ethical standard that really has a right and a wrong component to it. I mean, that's a major problem. The second part of it is that for all of this talk about, what we can continue to want to do in our schools, the fact of the matter is, even without Common Core, these kids have been taught essentially nothing more than anti-American, anti-capitalism, approach to things. I mean, within history, you're looking at race, class, and gender being the major explanations of everything in American history. And of course, when you look at it from that prism, well, then guess what? Our history is just, you know, full of horror. I mean, we're the bad guys and all this. And I think that, you know, trying to correct that is a major issue in and of itself. And there's nothing new about this. I mean, and I trace it in my classes to the late 50s, where you started to have people like William Appleman Williams talking about the tragedy of American diplomacy. And then you had Michael Harrington talking about, in Other America, this whole structural poverty argument, okay? And so there's nothing new about it, but it has infected, you know, the way teachers teach things and how, you know, our younger generation is being spoon-fed all of this stuff. And so now you have Common Core coming in and the C-Scope stuff, and what they're doing is injecting. I mean, this is just anti-Americanism on steroids, and that's the real danger. And you know, frankly, the fact of the matter is 45 of these states have already agreed to Common Core. So you're looking at, you know, the rest of the states who haven't adopted it,
it's a very small number. Texas, I mean, Alice, you're absolutely right that, that you've discovered something which is an outrage, and yet there's only six other or five states who haven't gone down the Common Core road, and this stuff is going to be coming into Common Core for sure. And I think what we have to do in Alabama is start looking in more detail as to exactly what is going on, because, frankly, this sort of went over our heads. I mean, we've been trying to rescind Common Core. That's what we've been fighting for the last 2 years. Now it looks like we've got to take this on, too, to make sure that even as we go forward with recension, that we actually know what they're being taught, which, as I said earlier, he really has a liberal bent to it already. So, I mean, it's a major fight.
Well, look, it's like spending on steroids. You know, you just use that word. We're on a fast course to indoctrination every which way. And I guess, Alice, Texas was like a gold mine. They just couldn't leave you all alone.
Well, and it's interesting because I think that Texas is a target because we have stood strong. But I will tell you, there are real concerns with a lot of us fighting the fight, and it really goes down to corruption in politics. And it's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. It's a political corruption issue. It's on both sides of the aisle. And I'll tell you, one of the things I testified last Thursday at the hearing, and I was asked, you know, do you agree that the SBOE should have oversight over the curricula, the C-scope? And I said, yes, but we need to make sure that our elected State Board of Education officials are legally in their position as well. We have a State Board of Education elected official who's been elected twice in his district who is illegally in his position. He is a registered lobbyist, as is his father and his brother. He's a registered lobbyist for Microsoft. Microsoft sells the online is very interested in this online curriculum going forward because they sell, you know, all the technology, and he sells to the school boards.
Exactly.
So, and Attorney General Greg Abbott ruled that he was illegally elected, but then there is no mechanism in our state law to remove him. So he is still on the State Board of Education. There is still a conflict, and he actually just got elected as vice chair of the committee that oversees the SBOE. And people don't understand that the reason why they're able to do what they do and get into our system is by lobby groups and special interest groups going in and schmoozing to get into key positions. And so I know for myself, I'm working on a project. We're going around the state and setting up communication teams within grassroots organizations across the state, setting up communication teams within the local area. So we have people on the ground locally who can expose the corruption in their local politics, and then we network all of these communication teams together. We have a conference call every Monday where we talk about key issues, talk about what's going on in the different local areas, so that when the primary comes, we have the ability to get the key information to constituents, to voters in the primary, so that we can clean house in the Republican Party. Because that, I tell people that a lot of these elected officials on the right are just as addicted to our tax dollars as that single mom on welfare. They just dress nicer and eat at a whole lot nicer restaurants. But they want our tax dollars as well.
Well, that's greatly put, Alice, and I just want to put this in because, you know, I remember about the problems y'all had with charter schools. And, you know, people are going to be placing that before us. We really need to go to charter schools. But, you know, y'all found problems with the charter schools, the laws. And really, it's, again, people, you know, lobbyists, you know, lobbying and getting in good graces with our, you know, elected officials.
Right. That's exactly right. And you know, there's a big push for school choice, but we have to be very careful about how we approach this. And you're right, with our charter schools, there are some wonderful, wonderful charter schools in Texas, but then we also have the Doolin charter schools, which are the Harmony in Texas. They're called Harmony Science Centers, and we have 37 of them, I believe, now. And back when they put the legislation in place for charter schools back in the 90s, they did not write in there that you had to be a U.S. citizen to start the charter school. And so these Harmony Science Centers, if you look at the board of directors, they're all from Turkey, and they're all under this Cosmos Foundation. Fatwa Gulen is a Islamic extremist who lives in Pennsylvania, and so they're getting into our charter school system. They're actually they have a lobbyist who are a consultant that helps them go through the legislative process to get bond money for these charter schools to build charter schools to indoctrinate our kids. And I just found out today, this is kind of breaking news, but one of these education service centers, the Texas Education Service Center director of Region 4, this Dr. William McKinney, he serves on the board of directors of one of Fatwa Gulen's International Science Fair organizations. So,
Alice, isn't that the reason probably that the, Islam has been held to such a stature? Because they have gotten a foothold, and I hate to say it, because Texas citizens are paying for them to really have risen in power. As well as really our federal money. It's like, you know, stepping stones.
Right. And you know, people don't want to talk about the infiltration. You know, we've got the violent jihad that's happening, but then you have the slow creeping jihad that's happening at the local level. And that's, I have a great, you'll have to have her on sometime. I have a very good friend of mine, Lisa Benson, out of Phoenix, Arizona, and she is a national security policy hawk. She does great work, and she came on our radio show the other day and talked about the slow creeping jihad that's going on across the country. And she does consulting for a group that called Secure America Now. And if you go to SecureAmericaNow.com, they're working very hard right now, and this is another issue that people need to really be looking at, to stop this nomination of Hagel for defense secretary. That is such a dangerous it's a dangerous place that we're in, and it's until the grassroots, until everyday Americans really find out who these people are, what they believe, and then stand up and tell their elected officials, we will take you out in the primary. It doesn't matter what political party you're in. we will do what we can at the local level to take you out to protect our children. And I think that it's got to come from us. It's got to come from the people, because we can't tell elected officials to do something. We have to demand it. We have to force it, because they've been so they've been bought out. They've sold. They sold their soul. And
they're so busy, Alice, and we need all the help we can get. You need all the help you can get in Texas, and we really, across the country, we need to be united. So, we've got to hear more from you. But Ms. Barber, I think you're fixing to get off, so let me let you get in, and I know you've got a question before you get off.
Well, actually, Diana, I am just taking it all in and rather overwhelmed. I'm thinking that here we are trying just so hard to get rid of Common Core, and yet C-Scope is before us. Even if we get rid of Common Core, there's C-Scope. And as Lou mentioned earlier, and not only that, but education had been failing, declining, since the late 1950s, and has been dumbed down. So, it's rather overwhelming. But still, we have to do what we can, and I like what you're doing in Texas and in fighting this, and we've just got to, it's a lifelong pursuit now. I mean, it's a lifestyle for the rest of our lives on this earth, and we've got to train others younger than we are to be in the fight and continue fighting it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and people don't realize what happens in Texas and California. The reason why they're concentrating in Texas is because if textbook writers always write their textbooks for the Texas and California curriculums, because they're the two largest markets. And usually what happens is when Texas and California adopts a curriculum or a textbook, the rest of the country follows, because there's nothing else out there. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up like Great Britain, where they banned the reading of the Three Little Pigs in their elementary schools because it offended Muslims. And this is where we're headed.
Wow. Well, that's why we're having this one.
Go ahead, Al. There is hope. There is hope, and here's where the hope is. I meet young people every day. We have a program called Generation Mentor, where we bring in these young high school, college, conservative kids, and they mentor the older generation on technology, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all the social media aspects of their life. That the younger people mentor the older people, but the older people mentor the younger people on the truth of these battles that we're having, because they've fought it before. And what happens, we did it at one of the colleges here, and I had a young girl stand up, and she thanked this room of Tea Party people that were all 65 and older, and she said, "Thank you so much for coming to this workshop." She said, "Because when I put conservative information on my Facebook and Twitter, I get attacked from my friends, from my professors, from people who are not conservative. And now that I know that you and I are friends on Facebook, you've got my back." And that, to me, is the answer, is bringing together the generations, using the very thing that we're so afraid of, this technology, get educated on how to use it, and then fight back. And fight back with truth and information. I'm on a board of a group called Women on the Wall, and our motto is seek the truth, share the truth, and stand for the truth. And these young people are hungry for the truth. And so if we keep speaking out, if we keep fighting these battles, God's in charge, and he's got it covered. And I think he's got it covered in the hearts and minds of our youth. And if we will go out and give them the truth, that's where we're going to save our nation. And I have great hope because every day I meet incredibly wonderful young people who are so thankful that we're out here fighting the fight.
Thank you, Alice. And we're going to try to do that too, Alice, here. But you have just really supercharged us, I think. Lou, I'm so glad you got to hear Alice. And Miss Alois, I know that has really got you more encouraged to, you know, fight harder as if you already don't fight the hardest. But and the rest of us. So thank you so much, Alice. And we're going to try to have our first ever conference. We're calling it Stand in the Gap in Southeast Alabama. I'm praying it'll be a regional conference. I'm praying that other regions will have conferences like this. And Ms. Lois, you've got some good news for us of how, you know, we're going to fight and let our legislature do what they need to do, which is work and give back the parental rights.
Absolutely. Lou and I are working as hard, in fact, overtime, as hard as we can to get our legislators to sign onto a bill and vigorously get it through the legislature as fast as possible, because our bad news is that Common Core is being implemented as we speak. And at the beginning of the 2014 school year, Common Core will be fully implemented. And the parents did not know about this. Teachers did not know about this. Taxpayers have no idea that they're going to have to fund what Obama's administration calls a revolution in education. And it indeed is a revolution. It is, in fact, Obama's Secretary of State also said that the purpose of education is to fight the, quote, battle for social justice, end quote. So what the Obama administration is trying to do is enlist our children to help Obama and progressives fight the battle for social justice and use our tax dollars to do it. And unfortunately, here in Alabama, as we're talking with legislators, we're learning that the superintendent of education, Dr. Tommy Bice, and two state school board members, Mary Scott Hunter of Huntsville and Dr. Charles Elliott of Coleman, are misleading our legislators. They are not telling the truth, and so this is making our battle a little harder. But we do have legislators who are learning the truth, and Lou and I are trying our best to help them do that, because it is ultimately their responsibility, the legislators' responsibility, to give oversight to the State Board of Education. The Alabama Constitution says this. And we're having to inform legislators that they do have authority to overrule the State Board of Education, but they don't know that. So here we go again. It's our duty as citizens to do the research and summary for our legislators who get so busy with other things that they don't know what we know. But our time is short, so our parents must rise. It's very easy for them. All they have to do is contact their legislators by phone, by email, or in person and say three words, Stop Common Core.
Thank you, Ms. Lois. We're so grateful that y'all are just in the fight with us parents. And Alice, thank you for everything that you're doing, and we have to have you back if you don't mind, and you know, keep us updated on this. And I'll try to get everybody's email together, Alice, just in case they've got other questions and comments to you. If you don't mind, I will share your contact information with them.
Yes, please do. Please do. I would love the opportunity to help any way I can, and come back on, and I'll give you a full report.
Okay. Thank you, Alice. Well, we're going to go ahead and close the show. I know people's got things they've got to do. pick up children and other things. So I'm going to turn this over. Pastor Wayne, yes, thank God we have a pastor on the show because we really need a great awakening, Pastor Wayne. And, you know, the hearts of mothers and fathers have got to be turned back to the children. We're doing so many good things, but we've got to come to their defense, and it starts with getting informed about this issue. So, Pastor Wayne, would you mind closing us, sir, also?
All right. Lord, in Jesus' name we come before you. We pray, God, that the words we have spoken today have not been in vain, that, Lord, they have been the words you would have us speak. And, Lord, we pray that there were people out there listening whose hearts will be moved and whose will be challenged to take up the mantle and to go forth in the struggle for the hearts and minds of our children. Father, we pray for our children this day, Lord. We pray that, Lord, as we send them off to the public schools to be educated, Lord, we are bound by law to send our kids these institutions. Father, we pray that you will protect our children. And God, we pray that you will help us have the courage, the knowledge, and the wisdom to fight for their very souls which are at stake, because there are forces at work who would enslave them into the bondage of unclean, unholy thoughts and philosophies, Father. And we pray, Almighty God, that we will have the courage to fight for our children, for our future generation. Lord, we pray for our country, God, in these dark days, Lord, that these times of trial, Father God, when our leadership refuses to lead, and when they do lead, they take us in the wrong direction. When it appears we have all gone astray, Father, we pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to move in the hallways of government and in the hallways of justice, to move on the hearts and minds of those men and women who have been placed in positions of authority, to be reminded of their duty not only to men and to the Constitution, but to the Lord God Almighty in heaven on his throne, to whom all things are owed, to whom all homage is owed. Father, we pray, Almighty God, that they'll be reminded of their duty before you, Lord, to do what is right, true, and holy in your sight, and be wise judges of the people, and to advance laws that are moral, Father God. I pray, Lord, now for this country, that God, you will turn us and put us on the right road, Lord, to take us back to our roots, Lord, which was a Judeo-Christian foundation based on biblical foundations and principles, that once more we might be truly the land of the free and the home of the brave. And, Father, once more we might again be one nation under God. And I pray this, Lord, for the sake of our children. In Jesus' name we pray and praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Wayne. Amen. And, Alice, if you don't mind, we are going to put Saturday's conference, which starts at 9:30 a.m. Central Time, on live streaming. And so if you've got contacts in other states, if you'll pass that on down, if they're also wanting to hear more and wanting to get out of it, to please join us and listen in. It'll be on www.cityonahill.tv.
Wonderful. I'd love to help you out. My pleasure.
Thank you, Alice. God bless you. And oh, Lou and Miss Lois, thank you, and we'll be seeing you this weekend.
Thank
look
you.
Look forward to it.
Okay, God, we're all looking forward to it. And Pastor Wayne, a good day to you, sir. And listeners, may the Lord bless you and shine his face upon you. So much here that you need to share and to be continuously in prayer to God. May he have mercy on America. Goodbye.
Bye now.